Oh, I haven't brought you a joke in a long time. What did the deciduous tree
oh, no.
say after the long, cold winter?
It's time to branch out. I don't know. Hit me.
Ah, what a relief.
I'm on some kind of upswing towards what feels like mania, for lack of a better word. Very vibrating internally. I was like this yesterday and I thought it was just caffeine, and it was mostly, well, there was a lot of it was caffeine. But yeah, my circuits are like, I don't know, they're simultaneously blown out and also firing. Like all the pistons are firing, and it's really weird. I think part of it is I'm just very intensely aware of, like, there's a degree of self-awareness or self-introspection or something. Self-introspection is a tautology, but there's a degree of something that sort of is making me like meta-aware, you know, I'm meta-cognizant of this, which sort of is adding its own little spice. Because otherwise I'd probably just be like, I don't know, I'm feeling weird. But yeah, I'm like, I'm spiky, I'm very distractible.
Okay.
And
hey, a squirrel.
Yeah. And it's I'm not making decisions from even a mid to, no, that's not true. I was going to say I'm not making mid to long term decisions. I'm not making sacrifices for mid and long term benefit. There is a degree of dopamine chasing at the moment that is quite a thing.
It sounds like you're feeling more self-awareness about all this than, but maybe this is, you had mentioned a seasonal lull in previous episodes. And I'm wondering, because we're just hitting spring, at least here in Portland, like the sun's really coming out finally and it's feeling good. I'm wondering, do you think this near mania is also seasonal, like a back spin from where you just were? And now you're kind of noticing that you're in that? Or is this maybe just its own thing?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting question. It could, you know, it could be seasonal. We are very much into like having more light, and there is that. It's so strange. Like, I don't know if it started last week or this week, but there's been a couple of times when I've put myself to bed in a very grown up way, and I've just had like the weirdest dreams or sort of quite unpleasant dreams as a result. Really odd. Yeah, I don't know. I think if I'm honest, or if I'm going to be fair to myself, quite a lot is happening internally.
Okay.
Like, because of the outside world. So Undo is doing very well. I got a lovely review today that a friend actually put me up for. She mentioned the podcast, and then like within a day, the guy had reviewed it and it's up on his website and now it's up on my website. And I had another paid subscriber this week. I had one over the weekend and then I had another one this week. And the next episode, I think, is going to be really good. But it was really interesting because I started writing about Merlin Mann, who... And I don't know, like, I wonder how much of where I'm going is kind of influenced by his trajectory, because he kind of got broken, and he's alluded to it in the past, but reading between the lines, you don't have to read that far between the lines to sort of go, like, 2008, 2009, he had a book contract. Actually, it went longer than that, but it was supposed to be the... Because if you actually look online, there is an ISBN for the Inbox Zero book, because Inbox Zero was his big thing.
Right.
And I remember hearing about it in like 07 or 08 by a colleague. And the book has an ISBN and it has like a subtitle and it has the author, but it does not exist.
Oh, man.
So it was obviously delivered under, or, you know, it was under contract so much that the publishing company went and secured an ISBN for it.
Right.
Subsequently now, there are other inbox zero in inverted commas books that are not written by him. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been rather sneery, rightfully so, about people who have kind of, you know, like
go off
with the idea and whatever. Not necessarily because he's that fussed about other people taking his IP, but more that they've taken the IP and misunderstood it, I think, is more the point, which feels quite Merlin. But sort of tracking some of that down, I kind of had a moment of a real moment of pause. Not for me thinking that I'm doing anything wrong or doing it, whatever. It was just a moment of reflection to go, yeah, like be aware. Be very aware of, as I think I already am, but just like another reinforcement of this chasing of different systems and or, you know, implementing so many different systems or whatever unchecked can lead to some major difficulties. And it was kind of a heartbreaking moment, because part of what I love about the podcast, and I think that makes it good, is the delving behind the people behind the systems. And on his website, 43 folders, which he's maintained just enough so that the SSL certificate still works. I think most of the images, if not all of the images, are broken, but the actual pages are still extant. There's a post called Cranking, which I think is what it's called. And it's the penultimate post. And it's a heartbreaking read. It is a cry for help. It is an absolute cry for, like, this is a man who is burnt out but hasn't realized it yet, and thinks that he needs the reset, and that he's about to recommit. And it's like, I am not giving these projects up. I'm absolutely here for them. I've just got to fix this one thing over here, kind of thing.
Sure.
And then, like, a few weeks later, there's a post about his friend's app, you know, his friend Marco Arment's reading app, and that's the last post. And that, to me, is that classic thing of, yeah, this is it now, stage two, I'm ready, I'm going, I'm in it, and oh no, oh shit, it turns out that cry for help post, which I thought was a reaffirmation, is me going, I need this to be over, but I haven't yet realized it. That's my reading of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was a hell of a read. And it's really emotional as well, because he's talking about his father, and he, you know, he writes so well. And he writes, I mean, someone, there's a book that's, I think, already been out, which is all about life hacking and the people behind the life hacks. And the author called the post long and rambling, and it's long, but I think to call it rambling is to sort of misunderstand the point of the post, really, or to fail to read the emotion in it. So it was kind of a moment, really. And then coupled with, you know, discussions I've been having this week, hopefully getting this singing group off the ground, it looks like there's a place for it. And then being asked if I would run a men's group.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. Like, you know, when someone looks at you, who's spent 10 minutes with you and trusts you enough that that is something that they would like you to do. Like, I took that as quite an honor.
Absolutely. And do you have any thoughts on how you would run or structure a men's group?
No, I know. You know me. I've got vibes.
Yeah,
I know what the vibes are. But other than that, no. I don't know. As soon as I know timings, I will start to really dig in, trying to find out what are effective ways to run a group outside of vibes.
Nice. Yeah, vibes is a good start.
Yeah. In and amongst all of that, it is a real, well, okay, the coming together of, funnily enough, this is, I love the universe sometimes, and actually it's making me quite happy as I think about it. This is just a moment of goosebumps. My summer's wandering, all of those pieces, all of those things that I was picking up and playing with and putting down, are all weaving together into a new thing, which is, I had a great conversation with a guy on, Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday, I think, which a post came up on LinkedIn, and the guy said something very nice and flattering about, he name checked me, and I was on it. I wanted to know what he was up to, and because he was finishing a podcast, and I was kind of curious to know, like, what was next for him, what his thoughts were on the whole industry as a whole, and where things are going, and certainly in our sort of line of work as Guns for Hire. And he talked about his hyperlocal podcast,
and my eyes went all cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making that work.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, cool. Ping to note that. You know, I think you do, and I don't know how much we've talked about it on the pod, but you know, I think, that I am becoming much more civically minded. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
And we've talked about volunteering and all that kind of stuff, and it's a little bit more than that. That's why I'm using the word civic. I think it feels like roughly the right word.
I understand. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's feeding in. And so there was stuff that I was doing that I think we probably talked about in a convergence back in the summer about doing something hyperlocal. That's
yes.
That's in my brain at the moment. There is one or two other things. And essentially, as we have also discussed, I need to find a new revenue stream.
That's sure.
The most bald I've ever put it. And I think my world as a gun for hire at the level that I've been doing it in podcast production, I think I am no longer seeking. Wow, I'm saying it.
Say it.
I think I am no longer seeking new work in that area.
Wow.
Let's be honest, I have not really been seeking new work in that area for a while. Sure. But let's actually say it. And so, what begs the question, as they say, what next? And one of the things that came up during the summer, and the putting, the picking up of things and putting down of things, was the more sort of agency type stuff.
Right.
And being, you know, and it was then I was just thinking about podcasting, but more of a sort of really actually digging into a bit more full service and a bit more, yeah, like an agency. And I don't want to be an agency, but one of the things that I am interested in is being an affordable digital producer for small organizations that could use what I do. And you and I have talked about that explicitly with, you know, the stuff like your business, which, you know, would not necessarily qualify in terms of what I'm doing, but it's that kind of vibe. And so all of this has all come together, including, by the way, some behind the scenes stuff about some of the shit that I was doing with Flurry is now also coming into play in another aspect of this same thing. And so
it's like you've been crafting all of these little puzzle pieces in different areas, and now you're starting to realize, oh, this is all the same puzzle.
This everything is as you say,
everything.
And where this is leading me to is the Mark wants to make money hat, the Mark wants to chill out and be able to have evenings where he doesn't, where he's not scrabbling around to try and find the next client, where he's just comfortable enough hat. There's the civic responsibility / duty hat. And then there's a huge piece of this that has been big in our conversations, that we are too isolated. We're not getting together. We are not the first to to notice this. We're more polarized than we've ever been. It feels like it's not actually true, but it feels like that. Because as John Oliver pointed out in his stand-up, there was a thing called the Civil War. So America has been more divided, but right now it doesn't feel like any of us. You know,
the vocal people are more polarized than ever.
Yeah. Yes, and they're more vocal.
Yeah, and they're more vocal, yes.
Than ever. And there was a fascinating video that I watched yesterday on the TikTok from a woman who's like, you'll keep saying things are fascist, and like, you need to understand what that actually means. And it was brilliant. It was a brilliant, like, explanation. You know, fascism is not just, as we know, because we're grown up, we don't just call things fascist because we don't like them.
Right.
There was a really good explanation of what ideologies, why the right and why disenfranchised people find comfort or hope in fascism, because it presents a worldview. It presents a future worldview, that a future world narrative that the left does not have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. So we've got all of this, and so much can be not solved, but mitigated by us getting together, by being able to have real conversations with people to say, bro, and look at people slightly askance, and to do that in person, in person, IRL.
Yeah.
So
to use a tech slang to describe
Absolutely. Well, humans, kind of to that point, where I'm going is using my services as a digital producer, as someone who's shit hot at web stuff, as someone who's got his hands in various different pies, to help small, local business for good enterprises, social enterprises, community groups, little local charities, to help get their digital stuff in order, look after their digital stuff, and then take the profits from that and put them towards funding events that get people out and talking in the real world. And so part of that is the singing group, because part of where this started is knowing that I need a holding holding entity if there's money that's going to change hands, because I do not want my limited company, my commercial company, to be mixed up in that.
Right.
And so what we have here is a model called the Community Interest Company, which is a company where the directors can draw a salary and they can have dividends at a reasonable amount. But then anything after that, any profits are to be used to further their particular community cause.
Amazing.
Which is so far up my alley. And I've always been interested in it, but never had any of, or enough of the pieces to come together to make that make sense.
Yeah, I remember you first telling me about that like almost a year ago, that that kind of thing existed where you are, and that was an interest to you. And so again, it feels like puzzle pieces you've been cutting out and now are finally stitching together. And that's fucking cool, dude.
And I had a moment this morning where I was thinking a lot about ego and how I have no desire to be a name in podcasting anymore.
Amazing.
Like trying to make that stuff happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So unless you want to keep going, I'm being reminded of your 8-year plan, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some shifting happening there, maybe. Because I think if we look at needs, there is a need for some sort of significance. That's, for want of a better word, an ego scratching. And right now, Undo is satisfying that need. I'm earning that because I'm doing good work. It's not just being lavished on me for no reason. Like, people are saying nice things. That feels good. Mark is doing good work. Mark feels good about the work that he's doing. Mark knows that he's doing good work. Mark is working hard. And there are rewards of little healthy, healthy sources of dopamine. And, you know, we can have the conversation about extrinsic. Well, fine. That's fine.
Extrinsically. When you brought that up, my first thought was like, well, you know, ideally... You know, in a perfect world, which we do not live in, you wouldn't need to do the work. You wouldn't need to receive external validation. And you would just know intrinsically that you are amazing already. And you're getting that self-validation. But that's not the ideal scenario that we live in.
And it's the world we currently live in.
Yeah.
That's not the world I currently live in. That is the world that some people inhabit. Absolutely.
Yes.
And fucking brilliant. And when I row my boat over in that direction, I will let you know what it looks like. but in the meantime,
I think it's pretty nice.
Yeah. All right. But in the meantime, it's nice to know that I'm doing a good job. So there's that aspect. And then more and more, this other bit has been, this other voice has been calling me, and not from a, you need to do these things, you're a shitbag if you don't do these things. There's no real sense of should in it, but a sense of like, yeah, you have a real opportunity. And like I think we said maybe last week or the week before, like, I got no money. This is not to do with like, I've got loads of time and loads of money, so I'm going to spend that time and money that I have doing good for people. It turns out those two things are not related.
Yeah.
I'd still want to do things. And there's also a continuing growing up, a continuing like, I've just been asked to be a man. I've been asked to lead other men. Like,
yeah.
Fuck. You know, I can't hide behind. Hell yeah. And we talked about this before. Like, I can't hide behind this. Like, oh, shucks. I'm just this little guy. I'm just, right. You know.
Right.
Not if you've been asked to step up, you know, and not if you're being asked to do stuff with responsibility. So
hard as nails.
Hard as, oh, yeah. So, listener, that is a reference to a little campaign that I sent to our little brethren. That is link is in the show notes. Yeah, so there is that aspect, which is help other people, do what you can there. You know, there are some missing pieces, the ego, the social engagement, or you know, the outgo. No, that doesn't make sense. and then there's the mental health thing, which I'm working on. Then there's a physical health thing, which so
happy to talk more about that if you want to, or we can do that later.
Well, I was thinking about that because I was thinking about, like, I'm going to bring this thing and Brendan's going to have a very helpful thing that he's going to say or suggest. And my problem is that it's not that I don't know what the solutions are.
Yeah.
Because I do. Yeah. I know I need to, you know, I know what to do.
Exactly. What I really want to talk to you most about isn't the things to do, because you have the list. You have the protocol.
Yeah, I have the list.
I want to, now I'm so curious, like, and not just for you, but for me to learn to talk with other people too. And for me to learn from my own self and just, like, talking it out more, is, like, there's resistance. Where is that resistance coming from? How do we get past that? You have the desire to change and you're encountering a wall of some sort. What is that wall for you? And this doesn't have to be the topic change right now, but, like, that
I'm here for it.
That I'm so curious about it. And I feel like I have a lot to learn in that regard about all of us humans, because trying to give this protocol to people, there's going to be walls. And, like, if they already wanted, like, they'd already be doing it if there wasn't any sort of resistance. So it's essential. It's a very essential piece to help.
I am very wary of, it has become very fashionable to say one has ADHD. Mm-hmm. If I haven't got ADHD, I don't know what the fuck I am. And where that may be useful to acknowledge is, if it is the case, where that is useful to acknowledge is the relationship to dopamine, and specifically the relationship towards short-term pleasure over long-term benefit, for want of a better word, which is something that the ADHD community struggle with.
Yes.
Apparently, cheese stimulates something in the brain. It's because cheese is mildly psychoactive, that there is a particular dopamine hit that makes ADHD people more receptive to cheese.
Okay.
Which is a thing, apparently. So, yes, it is very much when there are so many competing priorities and so many little nibbles for the brain to nibble on and get pleasure from, it is difficult to quiet the mind. And herein, I think, is the first bing little option to find a way through, which is the thing that my therapist does not like, which I'm curious to dig into, mindfulness.
Yeah.
And specifically mindfulness meditation.
Yeah.
I think that is actually the thing that needs to be done, is to sit. And
that was what came to my mind too.
Yeah. Sit in quiet, 20 minutes, find a little reward afterwards, that is not that does not reinforce a habit that one does not want to be reinforced.
Roasted and salted mixed nuts.
Yeah, well, you see, the problem is I've got these absolutely delicious Marmite cashews and I found myself just mindlessly eating them, and they are delicious.
And that's the thing, is that don't eat them mindlessly. Eat them
a
single piece at a time, and you know, put them into a separate, like, dish them into a separate container, and put their original container away, and you just have the dish. Eat them one, and that's your meditation. That can you don't even have to sit there in the dark and the quiet, whatever, for 20 minutes. And if it feels like torture, like, you don't have to do that, at least not right away. It's good for you. It's good for us to do. But like eating a single nut at a time and just trying to be as present as possible and savoring each one, like, that's a meditation on its own. And
yeah, very absolutely
good for the brain.
Yes, yes. So I think that's probably the first place to start, is to quiet things down. And also, like, I have a tendency to pathologize, and I'm always looking for why. Part of this is just my brain, but maybe others will identify. I can look for any change. I can notice any change, and I can seemingly look for how that might be a problem. Example: Roscoe is, he has these moments where he's intent, like, he's really, really affectionate, and he's picked up a couple of things. Like, he used to lick me on the nose when he was a kitten, and now he started doing it lately for a few months now, and it's the most lovely thing. And every time he does it, I say thank you for my kiss, and I never forget to say thank you for my kiss. And what he will sometimes also do, which I think I've understood now as what it is he'll put his paw out, and he'll sometimes just, like, sort of just, you know, like, very lightly kind of touch my face with the paw, which is, I think, and it's usually when I turn my face away, which is him saying, stroke me. I want to be stroked. Mm-hmm. And it's his way of communicating that, because as soon as I start stroking him, he stops doing it. But if I stop and if I look away, he'll sort of get me on the face again. And it's quite light, but it can also sometimes, there's, you know, a little bit of claw.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't just accept. No, that's not entirely true, but there is a piece of me that is looking for the diagnosable issue. Why is he becoming more affectionate? What is missing? What is the problem? What has changed that is causing this to be a thing?
Interesting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, part of that just comes from years of having, you know, I mean, all in all, pretty low maintenance cats, but, you know, also being aware that some signs, if you miss them, sometimes a thing means nothing. Sometimes a thing means everything. And how are you supposed to know?
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Life is the practice of acceptance that you can't know. You can't know everything.
But you can get told off by your vet for things that they think you're supposed to know. Anyway.
Well, then they're a bad vet.
Yeah. Yeah. That is something I'm beginning to improve in my life, is noticing when, like, no, I think that reaction was on you, buddy. I don't think that was on me. I'm not going to take that one
issues.
On me.
Yeah.
So,
I assume that you're making an analogy with Roscoe, and that you kind of see that with all things. You're kind of, your brain gets a little preoccupied with what's the cause of this? What's the problem?
Yes.
And like, what's the negative here?
Yeah.
The negative reason for this to have started?
Being somewhat vigilant, hypervigilant, looking for danger. And so when we began this conversation, categorized this in terms of a problem, effectively. It was like, I'm all over the place. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, scattered, or I'm this, that, and the other, rather than, like, there's so much potential, or my brain is alight with possibilities, you know? Like, the tendency is to sort of look for why this is a problem that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
And so that's also an element here that needs, like, wrapping up in this whole thing is just, like, to ride with it and maybe to go back to that time in early January at the top of a mountain and see the whole wibbly silliness of everything.
It's so silly. You are a tremendous company.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand why everybody isn't dancing.
And imagine needing anything.
So
Yeah.
Man, I hate to derail our wonderful recollection of that incredible series of moments. But I got a bit distracted. I got a little bit in my head when you said scattered. Because the way you pronounced it, and maybe it was just the way I heard it, but it was a bit more compound word. It was like scattered. And I was like, oh, is the etymology of scattered like animal crap that's like every that's like all over the place? Scattered. Yeah. And it's scattered. Like are they like, is it doubling down on it? I don't know. That's just a little poop joke, I guess.
A poop joke.
You had mentioned that you were off social media, which I don't know if that is still happening or not. I'm curious about. And then you also had your little Reddit ban fiasco, which I thought was pretty funny. when you sent me a screenshot, a couple screenshots, I think maybe of you trying to post something on Reddit and then getting a warning back or an alert back that you had been banned from that subreddit.
So it was initially I'd posted something and it was within a minute taken down because it was viewed as promotional,
right.
Which is, you know, fair enough. And so I wrote back and I said, yep, sorry, I got a bit overexcited. Without being defensive, this is not what I said, but, you know, so you understand my intent, like, without wanting to be defensive, I felt it was more generative than it was trying to take. I felt it was actually trying to give more than it was trying to take. But, you know, that's fine. And we can delve into that whole community, but we shan't. I feel like we might have talked about that.
Yeah, we may have mentioned that part before.
Yeah.
But then when you sent the next one, which you're about to describe, my first reaction was like, it was actually a little bit of like, oh, Mark, you just got to follow the rules, dude. It was like,
you son of a bitch.
I was coming into it on their side on that one until you explained what happened.
Yeah.
Which was...
So me and one of the moderators had this sort of tense, terse conversation. And then I thought sort of no more of it. I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll think twice about whether I want to add value to this community, and that's fine. But I'm not going to have an issue. And I think I actually wrote and posted something after that. Someone had, which is hence the thing. Someone had a question about a piece of tech, a specific piece of gear. And I commented on it. And so I love that your reaction was like, assuming that, like, I just can't be told. Just stop posting things that are promotional, Mark.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. And so someone had a like tech support question, and I answered it with a tech support answer. Mm-hmm. There we go. I found the original post, which has now been deleted, but it was something around a particular device. And I said something along the lines of, the words I said was, I haven't tried the Rodecaster 2, which is an updated version of a piece of tech I've used, but it sounds like you've just got a lemon. I'm sure if you contact them or the company you bought it from and explained the issue, they'll ship a new one. That's assuming the issue happened when you're not connected to your Mac or PC. So like a bit more diagnostic stuff. But yeah, sort of just iterating that point. Yeah. Again, you can contact them for support and I'm sure they'll help, but they might want to diagnose a few software things first before discussing a new unit. And that got a couple of upvotes. So I think you get like one by default or something, and then it got another one. So, you know, obviously okay. Just
right.
No links to anything, no images, no... and hey, if you need any help, you can contact me. Like, just my two cents on the thing.
Yeah.
And then I got a message on Reddit saying, hello, you have been permanently banned from participating in r/podcasting because your comment, linked, violates this community's rules. You won't be able to post or comment, but you can still view and subscribe to it. If you have a question regarding your ban, you can contact the moderator team by replying to this message. Reminder from the Reddit admin team, if you use another account to circumvent this community ban, that will be considered a violation of the Reddit rules and may result in your account being banned from the platform as a whole. So that caused within me a great deal of confusion. So I just wrote back and I said, this was 10 days ago now. I wrote back and I says to him, can you help me understand when was answering a tech question grounds for permanent banning? I mean, at this point, I have no interest in participating in your community, but I'd really like to know what supposed guidelines I violated by suggesting someone contact their microphone supplier. I've heard nothing back, Brandon.
What? Crickets?
Yeah, I know. And what's weird is I don't appear to be banned either. Like, I haven't posted anything because honestly, fuck them. They don't. And I think one of the things we discussed is like, I'm 42. I'm so above this. Yeah. Like, I am 100% like, I'm poor. This is between you all. Like, you know, grow up. That's fine. So like, I'm not worried about spending much more of my limited time on this earth trying to figure out if I can post to a subreddit. But as far as I'm aware, I can post. So
I wonder if they just like you got banned and then immediately unbanned because maybe it was like just a fat fingering kind of thing. Like they just accidentally did it and then undid it and then were like, yeah, I don't need to reply. But like whatever, it's just it's undone. He'll notice kind of thing.
Yeah. In which case, I mean, I don't know why I'm assuming this. Like I was about to say, and more fool me, common courtesy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
So yeah, that was a weird moment, but it was a great sort of moment to just go like, I'm 42. That's all I need to say. Like,
yeah,
I'm 42, and mentally, because I bet a lot of these people are older. It's just like, no. Mentally, I'm 42. I'm not a mental teenager in a 42-year-old body. So have fun with your little fiefdom. So yeah, weird, very weird,
but very weird.
Life way too short. If you're curious about the social media thing,
I am.
I've been posting daily to TikTok. I've been documenting my idea of designing a life worth living. So I've been talking very briefly about the various things that I'm trying to set up because I like that as a model. There's a kind of mix of accountability and honesty that I think actually works quite well. And I'm not, you know, doing any editing. They're just going up and almost mini microcosm versions of this in a sense. And that is about it.
Cool.
Someone said something nice to me on LinkedIn. I occasionally check LinkedIn and I found a comment on Instagram. A DM on Instagram. And I was like, oh, sorry, dude, you're a nice person. And, you deserve a reply because, you know, my current, you know, whatever feelings about social media don't supersede common courtesy. So
sure. Imagine
that's
that.
Sort of as far as it extends at the moment. He's like, I might do a quick trawl through. Is there anything I need to respond to? Fine. Otherwise, I'm good.
But then you don't consider TikTok social media.
I don't argue with anyone who says it is, but I for me,
yeah, for you,
I view it as because I view it as much less. And this is, you know, patently not true. Well, okay, I view it as much of a social network as YouTube is, in as much as it's got commenting. But its primary atomic unit, if you like, is a consumption of a video. It's primarily it's a consumption thing rather than it's not asking you what are you up to today. You know, it's the first thing you log on, you know, and the first box you see is not a prompt for you to contribute. It's a sit back.
Sure.
But that's a distinction that's without just, a meaningful difference.
Yeah, that button is just moved to a different place, but it's still there to
it
contribute
is.
A video or whatever. And the thing about TikTok is, and that's maybe different now, but at least similar to YouTube at its start, but now YouTube is very much very produced, big studios, you know, overcome, you know, clips from other things outside of YouTube, whatever, commercialism. TikTok is a bit more, you know, independent focused, I assume and understand.
There is a mix, and it will all depend on what you resonate with or what resonates with you.
Right, and your algorithm and what it feeds you. Yeah, for sure.
Because you can watch clips of things, you can watch trailers. You know, then there's some really very well produced stuff, but yes, still it is much more of an indie thing. and one of the things that I remember is, I can't remember where I heard this from. It might have been the Daily Tech News show. They were saying TikTok doesn't want ads. It doesn't want you to make ads. It wants you to make content that is like engaging. And, you know, if it's promotional, it wants you to buy a product, because people scroll past ads. Like, they don't actually engage with ads. And so when something looks like an ad, which, you know, the big companies like McDonald's and KFC, Amazon, I guess, they're all like, they just look like literally the same ad because it's the same language that you would see on TV. So it's like, what? But if, you know, if someone makes something that's a little bit more, that feels, you know, and companies are trying to ape that a little bit, and, you know, but it's very well marked if something's an ad. And, you know, ads are ads, it's fine. But yes, the currency is much more sort of authentic stuff. And it's interesting how things evolve because, you know, there's a real mixture of stuff that tickles various aspects of my brain. You know, I've landed in activist-ish, anti-capitalist TikTok, which is fun and interesting. And that's where you land on fairly long videos that are someone explaining what fascism actually is.
Yeah.
And then you've got people like Robert Reich. Who are, you know, doing some quite well-produced animated videos to explain, you know, how things are being fucked.
I've been here since before the beginning of time.
Yeah, Daddy Reich is coming out with some good stuff. I wonder how much of that he's picked up from his son, or if his son has had a hand in anything of that. I don't know. I'd like to think there's maybe something there. I'm sure he can lend some resources. I'm sure there's some people from Dropout who would help Robert,
probably.
Help Daddy Robert do his thing. That's a company that, if ever I were the type of person who like profiled companies and did case studies on them, I think Dropout would be a marvelous one to look at, because they just seem to actually run like a stand-up operation.
Absolutely.
Profit sharing, like no matter if you know, if you were a runner on a show, you get a share of the profit of the company. And I just, I you know, and it's good to know that. And apparently they're even, from what I've been reading, they're pretty lax on things like account sharing and don't mind if people are, you know, finding ways to bootleg to a degree, because this came up when there was a few Canadian people, I think rather performatively, saying, oh, I'm just going to have to drop my Dropout subscription because it's American and, you know, tariffs. It was all under the tariffs thing. So,
interesting.
What can I do? You know, tariffs. I've got a protest. And there was actually this really interesting backlash against the backlash that were people saying, don't have a go at these people if, you know, if they're using they're voting with what they believe or whatever. It's like, leave them alone. Stop having a go. And I love, you know, so much of the discourse about how, not just the company, but the meta stuff around the company. And I just think it's a really cool thing.
That is cool.
And this is why I kind of stand by TikTok, not as like a company, but as a means, because it's like, I've given it up before, but it's not that I'm worse off without it, but I'm better with it because I'm kept abreast of stuff that I wouldn't know about otherwise. So I'm not diminished by not using it, but I am expanded by using it.
Yeah. So that's where I want to jump in there, is that I don't have an answers here, but I wonder, are you really better for it? Like, you're more informed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Information is good generally. Mm-hmm. It's interesting and you're entertained by it.
It helps me make better arguments.
Okay. Yeah. Helps you make better arguments.
That's real. That's a useful thing.
Absolutely.
By the way, I'm not taking an actual defensive stance here.
I'm interested
in what you've got.
Yeah, and my argument isn't well formed yet. It's more of a question. It's more of a question.
Yeah.
Because I see it and feel it with myself, and I've kind of gotten this kind of vibe from other people as well. It's a little, but like we tell ourselves that that's a material benefit, and we can make arguments that it's a material benefit, but is it actually really? And is it worth the cost? And do we recognize what the costs are? Because there are, every convenience has a cost. And it's up to us to admit to ourselves what those costs are so that we can make an informed judgment and opinion about whether the benefit is worth it. And so, you can make a better argument. You're more informed, and that might very well be worth any of the costs that come with using the service. And from my perspective, I think that there's more of a cost than I think that you think there is. And I also struggle with it, with articulating what those costs are, but it's a bit like, mind numbiness and, the scrolly nature of it and like sacrificing time where like you're going to be spending a lot of time looking at things that aren't benefiting you to get that little morsel that is benefiting you. But is that worth all of the time? Like, it's worth the time that it took to watch that short little clip, but is it worth the time that you spent on the couch that evening? And that to me is probably the biggest factor that I, like, when I read it is usually my downfall, YouTube a bit as well. And yeah, I'll get a little bit of enjoyment from reading this one thing or watching this little video, and it's worth it for that amount of time that I spent doing that little thing, but it's not always worth the hunt. It's not always worth the time it took to get there. And the feeling I get of, I like how you just keep, I'm glad that's not booze. I'm glad that's water.
I really wanted to make a joke. And as you started laughing, I started laughing because I really wanted to just, because it would be such a fucking asshole cunt thing to do. I really wanted to just go, can I speak? Can I get a word in edgeway? Considering I've just spoken
for 45 hour, minutes. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just entertained that every time I started speaking, I paused for a moment, you put your bottle down, and then I'd say something again. And you're like, okay, he's filibustering. I guess I gotta keep drinking.
I've got to hydrate, man. I've just spoken unbroken for an hour. On TikTok, there is a little bulldog thing that every time his owner says anything, he goes, ow, 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 ow. And like her whole bit is just like, she'll start saying something and then the dog will go, ow, ow. And it's just, so she keeps doing this face like, okay, I'll wait for you. Ow, ow. And she's just like past 1.5 million subs. And I just thought of that as I was like, every time you start a thing, I'm taking a drink, just like, ow, 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 ow. You raise a good point, and I don't have a rebuttal because you're right.
I love that little story so much because it's like, okay, cute entertainment, sure, did that benefit anything?
But I've got a couple of things there,
please. Share.
One is, God bless you, you're American, you're puritanical, it's okay for things to just be fun and enjoyable. That's my little joke. Second thing is, mm-hmm. And this is just something I like, this is not a hill I'm going to die on, but it was just one of those thoughts that occurred to me is like, and time that I was spent at yours and time I've spent alone looking through, and Jesus, time I've spent with my parents with like looking through Netflix, doing the Netflix dance and then the Amazon Prime dance and the Apple TV. What do we want to watch?
Oh my God. Yeah. I always advocate that. I always push that off. Like, I'll fucking make I'll spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner. Like, anybody else has to pick what we watch. I do not care what we watch. Somebody else has to pick it.
Somebody's got to make that decision.
Yeah.
Because that can go for so long. And so, yes, that hunting aspect is still very much there.
Yeah.
But, there is that balance. Like, it should be okay that we can entertain ourselves. It should be okay that we can have, it's a little bit of a twee phrase, but a little of what you fancy does you good. Right? It's a bit twee,
Can I respond to that? Okay. Because this is actually the bigger thing that I wasn't thinking about.
Okay.
This comes to the health aspects that we were kind of talking about earlier. And getting the little dopamine hit versus abstaining from that to to feel better overall.
And that's why I said I didn't have a good rebuttal to this, because
yeah,
because you're right. I mean, you're right, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. It's one of those, like, zero-sum game.
No, for sure.
There are, and I was very aware of this, and frustrated. Like, I had this real duality moment this morning of, I need to get up. I really want to get up, and I actually actively want to be up, and I'm frustrated with myself, but I keep fucking scrolling, and I'm not mindlessly doing it now. Like, I'm in this mode of, like, at the same time, I want to get... So, like, I am 100% aware. But, yeah.
And the more you scroll, the more you want to scroll. The more... Or need to scroll, even. It's like...
And that is because...
check back in.
Of the...
And not just you and me. It's like, it's a...
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. One, yes.
One.
And that is because of the Las Vegas casino thing that a lot of the algorithmic content gives you, is you pull the lever enough times...
Yeah.
You know, 1 in 20 times you'll pull the lever and you get that lovely dopamine hit. And so you're just going to keep pulling the lever because you know at some point it's going to come good again and we're going to get something good again. Exactly. You know, you're going to pull out a plum. It is that. And that is really seductive. And it is, you know, because it's brains. Not just titillation, although that's certainly a part of it. But it is, you know, these little brain nuggets of
love those big black hits.
Love those. Back. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a well I've fallen into. Mike, maybe just between you and me. turns out I've discovered, Brendan, they can be too big.
Oh man. God. Yeah. Woo! I just Margaret and I just watched a new episode of Queer Eye. And there was a woman who was very unhappy with her body because of one big aspect, or two big aspects, I guess. And actually, they did a fantastic job making things a lot. They always do. I don't know if you've ever watched Queer Eye, but man, it's a great life renovation show. Like, it's a cool, they do a great job with that. Anyways, not important.
Yeah.
Back on track. What were we saying?
Yeah, well, not that it's a track, but yeah. It is something that I don't wrestle with, but I think I'm going to sneeze. fuck.
deep inhale in. Deep through the nose. Deep. No, just one long. And as always, correct me if I'm wrong. What's the difference between a bicycle and a duck? No, I'm sorry.
No. I want you now to complete that joke. That should always be the penalty. If anyone sets a joke up wrong, they have to then complete the punchline. You now have to write the punchline. What's the difference between a bicycle and a duck? Go.
How is a raven like a writing desk? Homework. I don't know. I don't have anything off the top of my head. The difference between them ruins the other joke that I have in my head that I said it wrong.
Yeah. All right. What's the intended joke?
What do a duck and a bicycle have in common?
Ah, okay.
The opposite.
yeah, sure. The only thing I can think about is bills. They both rack up enormous bills.
Cool. I don't know about that one, but they...
I was just trying to come up with a punchline. What is the punchline?
I know. They both have handlebars except for the duck.
Oh, for fuck's sake.